So to hold down the main location, basically only took two guys, Grandpa and Uncle Eddie.
Yeah.
So Uncle Eddie?
6th Street and 3rd Avenue.
Was there a name to the business? Must be
Al's Auto Parts.
Al's Auto Parts. Holy mackerel. There you go.
When he first went into business, he went into business with my godfather. I don't know if you're interested in that.
Yeah. Who?
Dominic Bertinelli.
Went into the auto parts business with Grandpa.
My godfather, Dominic, one Sunday, and him and his wife were with my mother and father having Sunday dinner because they were friends. My father was out of work because he made ladies' coats. He was a foreman making ladies' coats, and that's seasonal. They only work in the summer or whatever, and he wasn't working, and Dominic was like a mechanic, and he wasn't working. And this, I remember the conversation.
Really?
I must have been 9 years. It says, Goomba, Dominic, Goomba. They were godfathers, because he was my godfather, so that made him and my father godfather. What do you say we open up an auto wrecking business on... blah, 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 blah. He was the mechanic. He was the auto man. My father was... ladies' coats man. And they decided to open up this. They rented this piece of land on 4th Avenue and 23rd Street in Brooklyn. They rented the land and they opened up. That they called it the Boulevard Auto Exchange. And
this other guy was already a mechanic, that's what you're saying, right?
Huh?
You said the other guy, Dominic.
Yeah, he was already an auto man. Yeah, so.
All right.
Because my father. With his knowledge of the ladies' coat business, he never could have handled it. So this guy, he was... But Grandpa was a fast learner.
Mm.
And before you know it, he was good.
Fast. That's a very key thing you just said.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so sharp. Go on.
So, after about... And they were doing well. In fact, my father bought a new car. He bought his first new car. A Woolly 6.
You mean a brand new car?
Yeah.
A Woolly 6. That was the manufacturer, Woolly?
Yeah, it was. Well, the main name was Woolly's Knight. It's Woolly's Knight. And then they made a cheaper car called a Woolly 6. And he bought the Woolly 6 while he was in that. And then they weren't getting along.
After how long?
Yeah, it's about 5 years.
Oh, good and long. That's good and long.
They
okay.
weren't getting along. And my father, he started going to the racetrack every day.
Do you remember which track?
Yes, Aqueduct.
Okay.
And Dominic, he was disgusted, and he was he would take off. They closed the business. Finally, they came to an impasse. Said, "We got to split up." Somebody said, "You buy me out for $500." Well, I'll buy you out for $500. So Dominic says, "You buy me out for $500." And the arrangement was that once a month, my father had to give him $50.
Now, you're how old when this happened?
7.
And you know all this detail because of why? You happen to be in the room and they're talking and that there's a kid there and they don't mind?
I mean, I was in a room when they were talking about starting the business. And I was there because my father insisted that I go on Saturdays when I was off from school and when I had too much vacation in the summertime.
So these
I go down there and work with.
So these conversations are just taking place in front of you.
Yeah.
My father, I had to go down there
every day in the summertime when I was off from school. To work with my father.
Like as a 7, 8, 9-year-old?
Yeah.
What was the first stuff he'd have you doing? Like down there, you know, they have you, okay, you...
Well, he would, no, well, take this motor apart. Here's a wrench. Take the screws off. Take this motor apart.
Well,
Yeah, they said, so Dominic says, you give me
$500. And how much a month did you say?
$50.
$50?
$50 a month.
That's got to be a big payment.
So every month, Dominic would come around. And my father was running the business. He was doing pretty good. Every month, Dominic would come around and get his $50. And the word was, my father, I heard him talking about it, that Dominic was spreading the word, without me, he'll never last. And I'll never forget my father saying, I know how I remember this, telling someone, Dominic came around to get his $50. How you doing, Al? He said, well, I'm still here. Dominic said he would never live. And then Dominic opened up the same business on the next corner after that. We were on 23rd Street. He opened up a business on 24th Street to the point where sometimes I needed a part or something, and my father would send me over to Dominic's. Dom, you got this part. That they were like fairly competitive.
Okay, all right. Fair enough, right?
Yeah.
What the heck?
It was all part of it.
Okay, so that was, what was it, the Boulevard something, did you say? The name of their first partnership?
Boulevard Auto Exchange.
Boulevard Auto Exchange.
Yeah.
Grandpa buys the other guy out. And at what point does it become, what'd you say, Al's?
Al's Auto Parts.
Now, did he take that name at the same location, or did he go to...
When Dominic left, he changed the name to Al's Auto Parts.
Okay, at that time.
And then from there, he bought this, he rented this lot on 6th Street and 3rd Avenue. We were on 23rd Street and 4th Avenue. He rented this lot on 6th Street and 3rd Avenue and opened up another place. And he ran those two places.
Now, the other place, is that where you and your grandfather were?
No, that was long before that. Long before that.
Okay, so
and then he gave up the Boulevard Oil Exchange and just ran the 6th Street and 3rd Avenue place. And then
okay,
he got the other place.
So the second place became the main place.
Right.
When you were in the auxiliary place with your grandfather.
Al's Auto Parts.
Oh boy. Okay, so the Boulevard Auto Parts becomes Al's Auto Parts when the partners break up.
Yeah.
Then Al's Auto Parts has a new location.
6th Street.
Opens up a second location.
Yeah.
Then gets rid of the original location, keeps
exactly.
just the second one, and then he gets the annex.
Exactly.
So how far away this auxiliary place where you and your grandfather were for extra space, how far away from that is the old place? We're talking
it was like 10 miles.
Oh.
But it was on the way home to go from Al's Auto Parts to home. This place was like in the middle, about 10 miles away. In other words, when I was there and my father used to come to pick me up, he was on his way home. But he drove about 10 miles before he got there. And then he drove about 2 or 3 miles to get home. He was in a part of Brooklyn that wasn't no buildings or just...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know, it was like...
like wasteland.
Like country, yeah, right.
Oh, boy. So the first place was very small. You could fit just a couple cars in.
Oh, yeah. It was a small lot. I think it was probably less than an acre.
So now his second location...
The same thing.
Maybe
an acre, yeah. Okay.
Now the annex, let's call it the annex, where you and your grandfather were,
If the other place was an acre, this was like maybe 2 acres.
Did he ever sell cars too?
No.
Never buy and sell a car. Just always wreck a car.
Always wrecked a car.
So they're buying cars that have been in accidents. They're buying cars that are just too old.
They buy cars that people would come that their cars were too old to run. They would come. We would buy cars for $5.
Oh, man. But, so these are cars that are just not worth the owner putting money in them.
And then we would wreck them and put the take the parts if they were valuable and if they were viable and put them on a mark them, put them on a shelf, carburetors and generators, rear ends. And the bodies at that time were all wood. The structure was all wood. It was not metal like now. And we would burn the body bolts, take the body off it, and put a match to it, and burn the body in smoke.
Right in the middle of Brooklyn.
Yeah. And burn the tires. Yeah, right.
Now, you didn't burn all the tires, though, right?
No. In fact, when we bought a car, we would give the guy as much as we thought we could get for the tires. Because the tires were cash. We look at the tires and say, boy, these tires are worth $5 a piece.
Oh, so that was the benchmark.
We would give the guy $20 for the car.
So if the tires alone are worth $20.
Right. That's how we would...
If you could get the car for $20, you sell the tires as is.
Right.
Without putting labor into it.
Now
you've made back your whole investment.
That was a criteria of a car was worth.
And then whatever the carburetors were. Light bulb, everything.
And then the chassis was steel. We would sell the steel.
Uncle Frank told me you'd sell light bulbs.
Light bulbs?
Yeah, he said the light bulbs in the car.
Nah, light bulbs. Who the hell's gonna buy light bulbs from a
I don't know if they're buying cars for $5.
No, maybe sold the headlamps on a car.
Maybe that's the headlamp, because
in those days the cars had individual headlamps.
Okay, he said light bulbs. Yeah. He talked about testing them. He said you had a little system where you test. Well, he used the word light bulbs. So like hook up wires to them to make them go. And he used to say, he said, Uncle Frank said your grandfather thought that was so fascinating. You test the light bulbs and make them light up to see if they're any good or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, we tested. We didn't sell them, but we
sell radiators? Did they have cars that radiators?
That was one of our big sellers.
Because
radiators used to get clogged up. That was one of the main things we saved. We saved radiators, we saved rear ends, we saved transmissions, starters, generators, windows. Then we got expert in installing window glass. In them days, they didn't have shatterproof glass. It was all just glass. And we were getting pretty good at, I was getting pretty good at installing window glass.
So we mean a guy would bring you a good car and you would put glass in it?
No, a guy had a Ford, and a Model A Ford, and his window broke. And he'd come and we would cut a piece of glass, 26 by 16, take his old glass out, take the riser off on the bottom where it made it lift, and put the new 26 by 16 glass in there, and send him on his way for a dollar.
So he'd bring you his good car, you'd reinstall the glass.
Yeah.
How is the glass held into the door? Like a clamp or something?
What?
The glass, when it's in the frame or in the door, in the riser, is there a clamp?
On the bottom of the glass, there was like a clamp. First you put a piece of felt along the bottom, and you tap this glass on there. Then it had a groove in there. When you turn the thing, this riser would go up.
For a dollar.
And, yeah.
And that was worth it. That was good money. It was good. Obviously, you're charging it. It's worth it to do all that work. What year are we talking about here with that, where a guy would pull up with his...
Well, I left. I was... the war started in 1941, and I left home. I ran away from home, left home in 40. So we're talking about 38, 39.
40? Where'd you go in 40?
I went to Florida. I went to Miami.
To Florida.
Yeah, I left home.